Hello, thank you for joining me for our midweek Bible study. It's been a week or two since I've uploaded one to our website. Last week I was with the youth during our Wednesday night service, and so I did not speak during prayer meeting, and I'm thankful that Paul Cione covered for me. But tonight we're going to be back in 1 Peter and looking at the end is near. So what comes to mind when you hear that the end is near? I guess it depends on what is about to end. For example, I can remember the first time that we took the kids to Dollywood. Now, most of our kids at that point had never been on a roller coaster, so we decided to go to the closest one to the entrance, which was also a wooden roller coaster. I thought with it being a wooden roller coaster, there would be no loops, so it would be good to be a first roller coaster for the younger kids. I was wrong. Apparently, I had put us on one of the fastest wooden roller coasters in the nation for their first roller coaster experience. It did not take long after we dropped off of the hill for the kids to be looking for the end. They wanted off of that ride and could not wait for the end. They were glad when the roller coaster stopped and could not wait for it to pull in and let them off. Now, another example would be that I love carrot cake. And due to the expense and the amount of sugar, it is a very rare treat. The first piece is experienced with great expectation. As I eat that first piece, I eat each subsequent bite quicker than I did the previous one until I realize there are only a few bites left. And then I slow down once again and take much smaller bites because I know that the end is near. Now, some of my kids were eager for the end of the roller coaster, and I'm never really eager for the end of carrot cake. And we just finished the time of year where seniors graduate from school. Whether it is a high school graduation or a college graduation, it signals the ending of a season of life. While it is a time of celebration, expectation for the future, it is also a time of goodbyes and parting of ways. As we look at verses 5 through 7 of 1 Peter 4, we will see that the end of all things are near. Let's start with verse 5. It says, "They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are not now dead, so that they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and be sober-minded for prayer." Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We ask that you would indeed help us to know that the end of all things is near and help us to be sober-minded and alert for prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we think about endings, whether roller coasters, carrot cake, graduation, or any other ending, we can understand that the end of something can have a host of feelings come up. Now, we'll see today that there are some that are waiting expectantly for the end. Others may be ignorant of the end, but if they understood what the end is, they would pack the churches where the Bible is preached to hear how to look forward to the end. They would do everything they could to hear the life-changing, life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we look at how people respond to the end, let's look at the fact that the end is near. Now, the sense of the word end is the point in time at which something ends. So, as we think about the definition here of end, we're thinking about a point in time where something is. Now, verse 7 tells us that the end of all things is near. Before we look at the word near, we need to understand that to end means to cease, to stop, to terminate, to be fulfilled. In this specific instance, it has the idea of the goal toward which the movement is being directed. We need to understand today that the Lord has a goal. Well, it's more than a goal. It is a decree, a determination that he is working toward, and he is not going to miss this goal. He is determined that sin, death, sickness, sadness, abuse, injustice, deception, rebellion, and etc. will come to an end, It even goes beyond all this. The Lord is bringing all of the enemies of Jesus to submission. Matthew 22, verse 44 says, "The Lord declared to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" The Father is bringing all of creation to submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of the Old Testament had countless prophecies of the Messiah that would come and pay for people's sins. They were able to look forward to what God would do. For over 2,000 years, people have been able to look back to the finished work of the cross and believe. Salvation, what we have to understand is salvation is available to all, but most reject it, few receive it, and fewer truly believe it. If you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected, you must believe that the end of all things is coming. You should not just believe that it is coming, but you must believe in the when. And the when is near. The end of all things is near. It is close by. It is at hand. God has described the end, and it will be a process. That process, I believe, begins with Jesus calling the church home. When will that happen? I cannot, and no one else can tell you the exact time, but our scripture is very clear today. It says in verse 7 of 1 Peter 4, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer." And so, the word near has this sense, to be moving toward or not be far distant from a moment in time. We are constantly moving closer to the end with each passing second. There is no way to reverse time, and we march steadily on to the time when God the Father will say to God the Son, "Go get your church." We are so close to that happening. In fact, it could happen at any moment. Listen. Just take a moment to listen. The trumpet could sound at any moment. Listen. The shout could ring forth throughout the earth at any time. Shh. Listen. This might just be the moment that Jesus calls the church home. As we ponder that this could be the very hour that Christ returns, you probably have one of two responses. You either have joy or worry and dread. Let's talk about the ones who had joy for a moment. If you're excited about the end, then I believe that is an indication that you've been saved. Because if you've been saved, you can identify with the lyrics, "It is the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." We can feel fine and have hope because we know that the Lord has shared with us the good news. We have believed, and we are ready to see our Lord. The gospel has changed us, and we know that our sins have already been judged. God the Father poured his full wrath and judgment on our sins, onto Jesus Christ, through his crucifixion. It is through a brutal, bloody, gruesome, torturous cross that we have had our sins paid for. The cross is truly a horrible thing. It is one of the most heinous means of execution that man has ever dreamed up. But we find beauty in the cross because it is our hope. We have hope because when all the enemies of our Savior have been put under his feet, we will spend eternity with him in heaven. We will be with Jesus. Greater than the gates of pearl, greater than the streets of gold, greater than seeing family members that have gone on before, greater than talking to Abraham, Peter, Paul, or even King David, greater than seeing angels, greater than the mansion that has been built for us, greater than the new heavens and the new earth, greater than all of this is that we will be in the very presence of Jesus for all of eternity, and there is nothing more exciting than that. Regrettably, just like a coin has two sides, while the end is good for the believer, it is horrible for the unbeliever. So as I described the coming of Christ a little bit earlier about how it's imminent, that it could happen at any time, either you were joyful about the prospect of Jesus coming, or you are worried about the end. If you are worried, concerned, or even dreading the end, You have good reason if you're not saved. If you've been questioning your salvation, you don't need to wait to get it settled because the end is near. So you need to get it settled today. The end is quickly approaching. For those of you that continuously live in rebellion to the Lord, those of you that see yourself as a good person, but you reject the fact that you need to be saved, or anyone else that has not yet believed in the all-sufficiency of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Lord wants you to give your life to Him today. Anyone that feels that they're not ready for the end, you can be ready even now. And I do hope that you will take opportunity that the Lord is providing for you. If you do not believe in Jesus, if you do not believe in Him before the end, you will face the judgment. 1 Peter 4:5 says, they will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, the judgment will not be according to your good works or your bad works. Now, it's not whether or not you did good or bad, and it will not be according to what and how much sin you did. The judgment will be on what you did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you believe it or did you reject it? When speaking of who will be in heaven, the scripture says in Revelation 21:27, says nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way to be made clean, the only way to be forgiven of the detestable and false things you have done, and you do or will do, the only way to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to give your life to Jesus. And so if you're unsure of your salvation, or if you know that you're not saved and you want to be saved, it is as simple as ABC. You must, first of all, A, admit that you're a sinner. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the problem is not all of us want to admit that. But that is the first step to being saved, is you must admit that you're a sinner, that you need the Lord to help you with your sin problem. And so that is A, admit. B is believe. Believe that Jesus has done all that is necessary for you to be saved and for your sins to be forgiven. He died on a cross for your sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and He rose to life 3 days later, defeating not only sin and death, but also the grave. And then C, you confess the Lord as Savior. And so, and also Lord. And so you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, Lord means that He is in charge now, that you are submitting your life to His precepts, to His direction, and that you will follow His commands. And so, again, if you need to believe in Jesus, it is as simple as ABC. Admit, believe, confess. Make sure you're ready for the end, because the end is definitely near. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the time that You've given us to look in Your Word, and I ask that You would help each of us to know that the end is truly near, and help each of us to be prepared to see Jesus one day face to face. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me once again, and I hope that you have a good rest of the week, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.